Hey, Wendell Patrick, do you want to say what week this is?
This week marks exactly 10 years to the date from the first time you and I ever met.
Crazy, right? This is indeed the 10-year friendiversary of our decade-long bromance. And we will tell you, listeners, exactly how we know that.
If you are a regular listener to Out of the Blocks, you know that Aaron and I co-produce the show. Aaron records and edits the interviews you hear, and I compose the musical scores for the episodes.
But we met many years before Out of the Blocks when I was doing another show, a radio show for WYPR called The Signal. This was like a weekly cultural show where I'd interview various local artists and writers and musicians like Wendell Patrick.
So yeah, I first met Aaron when he invited me to be a guest on that show, The Signal. And I remember thinking like, wow, that guy asks really good questions. And then you know how it is, time went by and Aaron, I kind of forgot about you.
I kind of forgot about Wendell, too, until a couple years later when I came up with this crazy idea for an audio experiment. I thought, what if I picked one city block in Baltimore and I made it my mission to go there and meet and interview everyone on the block? Like, what would that sound like? And then I remembered Wendell and his music, and I thought, well, however this experiment ends up sounding, it would definitely sound a lot cooler with Wendell's music in it.
So Aaron called me out of the blue and he explained this weird experiment to me, and he asked if he could borrow some of my instrumental tracks from my albums to embroider the piece. And I thought about it and I said, what if I made you a different offer? What if instead of you using my music from the albums, what if I were to compose a completely custom musical score that actually incorporated the sounds of the block itself?
Which, if you are a radio producer, you say, like, yeah, thank you. And from there, we were off to the races.
And that was the genesis of Out of the Blocks. So this week being our friendiversary as such, we're going to take you back in time exactly 10 years to when we first crossed paths. And we can do that because Aaron did some digging around in his office and actually found the CD master of that show from 2008.
It's a pretty cool segment, I gotta say. You're about to learn some interesting biographical stuff about Wendell, including the fact that Wendell Patrick is not his given name. Wendell was actually born Kevin Gift. And are you gonna hear the story of why? Right after this.
So coming up, when Aaron met Wendell. My earliest memory is, I'd say the first time that I played a piano when I was 3. I didn't think it looked that hard, so I went over and I sat down and started to play a little bit, but it was really just making noise.
Nobody in Kevin Gift's house knew how to play the piano. He says he used to think it was just a funny-looking table with a bunch of photographs on it. His family had recently moved from their home in Washington, D.C. to Venezuela, and his mom bought the instrument just to have in the house, hoping someday someone would learn how to play it.
Both of my parents are from the Caribbean. My father's from Trinidad and my mother's from Jamaica. And growing up in the house, we listened to a lot, all kinds of music, calypso, reggae. You know, I remember listening to George Clinton, you know, Parliament.
When Kevin's mom and dad noticed his interest in the piano, they signed him up for lessons. He was 4 years old when he started learning how to read music.
The songs that I were playing were all classical pieces by Bach, Mozart, you know, exercises by Czerny and Haydn, things like that. When I was actually in preschool, actually when I was 4, my teacher got wind of the fact that I could actually play, and I actually was made to play almost every single day in class, which used to upset me, because I thought everybody knew how to play. It's actually funny. I remember actually bursting into tears. And my teacher said, well, if you can pick somebody in the class to sit on the piano bench with you, you know, will you play? And I remember saying yes, and I just pointed to somebody. And I don't even think we were really good friends. I mean, at that point, my Spanish wasn't very good. I had just gotten to the school. So we have all of these photographs of me playing with this other student, this boy, like on the edge of the piano bench, just sort of looking off into the distance.
Just a few years later, it was time for Kevin's family to move again. His dad worked for the Trinidad government in the Foreign Service, and he'd gotten another assignment.
When I was 7, we moved back to the Washington, D.C. area. And at that point, piano, music in general, but piano specifically, was quite serious. I didn't really see it as being on track for anything in particular. It was more my parents saw that it was something that I enjoyed and tried to provide me with as many opportunities as possible to further what I was doing.
Kevin spent the next several years taking more lessons, performing in competitions and master's concerts. When he was 11, the family moved again, this time to Kingston, Jamaica. Kevin and his sister ended up in a local reggae band for a bit, but the classical piano training continued all the while. Then it was time for the family to pack up and move again, this time back to Maryland, Rockville, where Kevin was enrolled in a boarding school. He was 14.
At that age, you know, I'd been playing for so long, and it had been really at the forefront of my life for so long, that when I got to that school, I didn't tell anybody that I played the piano. Nobody. Because I just didn't want to be forced to play or, you know, have people ask me to play. And, you know, I didn't really expect it to last, but it was nice. It was nice to do that. Didn't actually tell my parents that I was doing that. Just stopped going to take lessons and thought that would last maybe 6 months. And it ended up lasting almost 4 years. During that time period, I actually played the piano once, and only once. And I actually, what happened was at this school, there was a chapel. One night, I went into the chapel and decided, you know, just sat down and started playing the piano there. And there was nobody there. And when I stopped, I looked up, and there was somebody sitting there. Actually one of the prefects, I guess. And, you know, he said, "How come you never told anybody that you do this?" Yeah. And I said, I actually asked him, I said, "Could you please, you know, not say anything? Because I would just rather you didn't say anything."
Well, that prefect never did say anything, and no one was the wiser. Kevin didn't sit down at a piano again until years later. It was his freshman year at college at Emory University in Atlanta.
I actually was at a party with my girlfriend at the time, and I told her that I played, and there was a piano there, so she asked me to sit down. She asked if I would play something, so I sat down and played something that I'd been able to play from when I was 10 or 11. It was actually a Brahms Rhapsody, and I just had a really difficult time playing and was really stunned. I mean, just really surprised. And, you know, she didn't notice. None of my friends noticed. They all thought it was great, but I could tell that the facility certainly wasn't there. And I got very depressed about it and, you know, felt like a very large, important part of me was gone. I was on my way to an English class. And on the way to the English class, I could always hear music of some kind. Sometimes it was piano, sometimes it was other instruments, but the music department was actually in the same building, in the humanities building. So one day I just decided just to skip class and followed the sound of the music because there was a piano playing. So I followed the sound and ended up at the door of the head of the department.
So Kevin asked the department head a casual, hypothetical question. He said he used to play a little bit, and could he maybe take a lesson or two for his own continuing education? The teacher asked him to sit down at the piano and give an example of what he could do. When he heard Kevin play, he immediately took him on as a personal student.
As I started playing again, initially, I really just wanted to be able to play for my own enjoyment. So I would practice, I don't know, like about a half an hour every couple of days. And as it started to come back rather quickly, I started to practice more and more, and I mean, it got to the point where it was obsessive. Like, my favorite place to be basically was in the practice room. So the practice room closed at midnight. And at midnight, usually a security guard would come around and say, you know, that we're closing and you'd have to pack up your stuff, leave, and he'd lock the building. So he and I got to talking one night, just talking about music. And after that, we had that conversation. He would come by about 5 minutes before 12, and he'd say, all right, I'm gonna lock up the building. So just stop playing for a little bit. So I'd stop playing, and I'd hear him going around knocking on all the doors and saying, it's midnight, you know, we're locking up. So everyone would leave, and then he would come back about 5 minutes after 12, and he'd say, all right, everyone's gone. You know, stay as late as you like. Just go ahead and make sure you go out the side door because it locks itself. So I'd be there till 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Archival audio from 2008 from WYPR's cultural program, The Signal. A story I made about Kevin Gift, a.k.a. Wendell Patrick, the first time I ever met him 10 years ago. Wendell, of course, now my dear friend and co-producer on Out of the Blocks. And you're about to hear how Kevin Gift became Wendell Patrick in just a minute.
Kevin graduated from Emory in 1995 with a double major in music and political science. Now, 13 years later, he's performed concertos on stage from Bolivia to Washington, D.C. He's a working concert pianist and a music professor at Loyola College, and it's been a comfortable and rewarding way to make a living. But a few years ago, Kevin started coming home at the end of the workday with an unresolved musical itch. Ever since, it's kept him up incessantly into the wee hours of the night, sitting in his home studio, surrounded by computers and chaos pads and digital turntables and MIDI processors. He says it all started back in 2001 as a sort of therapeutic daily musical brain dump.
When I was finished practicing, either classical or jazz, I would start to, you know, just sort of to relax and wind down the evening, I would start to write this electronic music, I guess. When I was writing it, I really didn't have any sort of music in mind. It was just sort of things that were in my head. You know, there was just sort of a rhythmic aspect that felt different from the piano. I wouldn't even say that it was something that I felt was lacking in the piano, because, you know, to me, the piano is the most complete instrument. But it definitely fulfills some sort of, you know, musical need that I wasn't getting.
Gradually, this separate electronic musician identity kind of started growing and growing, mm-hmm. And becoming more and more of a substantial part of your life, to the point where you sort of developed an alter ego and gave this alter ego a name. Tell me a little bit about the name you took on and why.
Well, the name is Wendell Patrick. And the reason for that is I was born a twin. I had a twin brother. My name is Kevin Gift. His name was Wendell Patrick Gift. And he did not survive. He survived for a couple of days. And they say that twins have this awareness of another being that's very close to them. Even though I didn't know him, that's something that I've often thought about over the years. And as I started to make more and more of this music, and, you know, I amassed dozens or hundreds of these small, short snippets of sound, really. And I started to arrange them into actual compositions. You know, my wife actually suggested, she said, you know, why don't you use his name? Why don't you use Wendell Patrick for this music? And it just made so much sense. You know, the music is, I make it, but it's very different from the music that I play as Kevin Gift. It's not classical, it's not jazz. I mean, it has some elements of jazz, but it's very different. And so it just seemed like the closest thing to me without using Kevin Gift. And so it's two different kinds of music, sort of a split personality, if you will. It almost happened by accident. I mean, the music that I was writing was completely for me. You know, the only person I showed it to was my wife, who, you know, I show everything to. And she encouraged me to show it to friends of mine, and you know, I would play it for friends, and you know, they would say, "Well, you know, are you, you know, why don't you put this stuff out?" And initially, I would say, "Really? You know, I'm not sure people would really be interested in listening to this, because, you know, that wasn't the intention." And so, I think because I didn't have sort of this idea that I was doing something for others, that it was easier in some ways just to put it out.
Take me back and tell me what that experience was like the first time your folks sat down with you and explained that at one point you had a twin brother who didn't survive.
I remember the conversation was with my mother, and it was something that I had thought of actually quite a bit. And I remember saying to my mother, I said, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if I had a twin brother? And she was very quiet, and she said, well, you did. He did have a twin brother. And she told me his name, and she told me the circumstances surrounding the birth and, you know, the problems that occurred. And I guess, like most people in that particular situation, well, the first thing that I thought was, wow, that's so cool. And then I started thinking, I mean, I was maybe six at the time, so I started thinking just what it would have been like to have somebody, you know, who looked like me, if he was an identical twin, in my class or, you know, on my soccer team, or just what it would be like to have a twin brother. Gotten to the point now where when people refer to me as Wendell Patrick, because at this point there are people who actually have no idea that Kevin Gift even exists. I mean, they refer to me as Wendell. And so in that sense, I really do think of it sort of as just a different side of me. You know, he's me.
Let me ask how your family feels about Wendell Patrick being a name and an essence and a presence out there in the world.
You know, the first time I think I told my mother about Wendell Patrick, I was really curious as to what her response was going to be, and she just thought it was great. You know, she's thrilled. She's thrilled.
I wonder if you feel like maybe you know this lost twin brother years now in a way that you maybe never otherwise would have gotten to experience.
I do know that, you know, obviously I'm not going to meet him in this lifetime. But, you know, whereas in the past I might have sort of had a lot of wonder about, you know, what he might have been like and what he might have done, I'll never know him. I'll never meet him. But, you know, when I think about, you know, Kevin Gift and Wendell Patrick, as opposed to having to sort of imagine what he might have done, or, you know, I find myself not really thinking about that at all. I just take pleasure in knowing that I'm making some sort of contribution, you know, from two very separate angles, and one of them happens to have his name on it.
Wendell Patrick, a.k.a. Kevin Gift, from a story I made 10 years ago this week on WYPR's radio show, The Signal. That was the very first time you and I crossed paths, and how crazy is it to listen back to that this week?
Yeah, especially the fact that when we looked it up, it was literally exactly 10 years ago to the day.
Serendipity. I'm glad we met. I'm glad we became friends, brothers, work wives, co-producers. And I'm glad we got the chance to share this little trip down memory lane with our listeners.
Me too. I'm also glad we've been able to share this, frankly, because this episode is giving us the extra time we need to do editorial and musical justice to the amazing interviews and audio that we collected on our recent trip to Atlanta's historic West End neighborhood. It's shaping up to be a really cool episode, I think, so stay tuned for that one.
Definitely. And thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading the good word to your friends and fellow podcast listeners about what we do, and we will be back with you again soon from Atlanta. Out of the Blocks is a production of WYPR and PRX. It's made possible by generous support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Cohen Opportunity Fund, the Hofberger Foundation, and the MuseWeb Foundation.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.